Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Welcome to service today. Welcome those joining us on the radio. As you can see, Pastor's not here today, so it's going to be a lay ministry-led service. A note from Pastor Jason. It says, please know I'm thankful for you all and our mutual service in the work of the gospel at Trinity. I want you to know that while we are not here with you today, Patricia and I are praying for you and with your spirit. May God bless you all as you rejoice in God's glorious promises made to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Peace be with you. Amen. Please stand on the last verse if you are able. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is the day in which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Make me know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Please join me in the Luther Small Catechism. The second petition of the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. What does this mean? The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may come to us also. How does God's kingdom come? God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His Holy Word and lead godly lives here to time and there to eternity.
Please be seated.
Please join me in the Kyrie. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God, our Maker and our Redeemer, you wonderfully created us in an incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him, and who made himself to be like us, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns, with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. First reading comes from Isaiah 61:10-62, verse 3. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, for as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give you. And you shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading comes from Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And his sword will pierce through his own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And there the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and in the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord God.
Please be seated. Please join me in the responsory. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where you glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where you glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon today, prepared by Pastor Cody, considers both the presentation of our Lord at the temple and the circumcision of Jesus. Today we remember that Joseph and Mary obeyed the law of God in this regard and brought the circumcised child Jesus to be presented at the temple. It was undoubtedly God's work within them. It is interesting to note that Jesus was too young to bring himself into covenant at his circumcision, and too young to come to the temple this day and obey the law of God on his own. So his parents act on his behalf in both ways. After all, God's law commanded that all male children be circumcised as infants on the eighth day, and then also dedicated to the Lord by sacrifice. Long before Jesus was old enough to decide for himself his religion or what he believed, his parents gave him this identity by both his circumcision and his dedication at the temple with Simeon. This morning, consider this idea. God worked through his parents to give him his true identity. The Apostle Paul in Colossians 2 wants us all to know this. Still, it's how things work within the Christian family. Colossians 2, 11 and 12. In him also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God. Here, Paul lets us know that the fulfillment of circumcision and dedication is holy baptism. Baptism is the circumcision of the heart and our true dedication to God through the one true sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, after Jesus is circumcised and presented, neither circumcision nor temple dedication, neither one of those amounts to anything. That's why we don't practice either one in these things today in Christianity. Now holy baptism takes their place and, yes, surpasses them both. As the scripture also says in 1 Corinthians 7, "This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision. It is no longer about marks in the flesh or solemn dedications to display our status with God. It really never was. These legal dictates that were not an end in and of themselves, they were both a means to an end. They reached their goal through Jesus in holy baptism." People often ask, as we approach the next couple of Sundays, why did Jesus need to be baptized? He never sinned. Answer, he was circumcised and dedicated to God so that when we're baptized into Jesus, we're circumcised in our hearts and dedicated to God, all by the power of God's word in the water. So Jesus makes sure to unite the Old Testament and the New in his very own body. And then he unites us unto himself. Remember, the Old Testament isn't a complete reality that the New Testament is an addendum to. No. The New Testament is and always was the ultimate goal of the Old Testament laws and ceremonies. They all pointed to Jesus Christ, and in Jesus we fulfill them all. Herein lies the problem with Jesus being seen only as an example to us, thinking that he was baptized so we should be too. Jesus was circumcised. Does that mean we must be too? Jesus was presented in the temple, but that wouldn't work for us, as there is no temple. So the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 7 not to follow Jesus' example here. So, should we be baptized just because Jesus was? That's not really the reason we need baptism. Still, all of our popular Christian ideas see Jesus only as an example of how to live. He is that, but not in every way. He was 30 years old when he was baptized, so should we all wait until we're 30 to be baptized? No. He was brought into covenant with God in his circumcision at 8 days old. Jesus came and accomplished all that he did, not only as an example, but more so as the substitution for us. He substituted himself at the cross for you and for me, so that when he connects us to himself in our baptism, all that he is becomes ours. If we get caught up in the what would Jesus do thinking, all we've accomplished is getting things backwards. The new covenant of grace comes to replace a life lived in subjection to the law. But if we're not careful, we can end up making the new covenant into a means to get us back to a life of law keeping, which it was exactly intended to set us free from and bring us to the new covenant of grace. Simeon, in our text, saw something else. Besides a life under the rules at Jesus' temple dedication, he saw salvation from that darkness. Luke 2:29-32. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and glory to your people, Israel. What was the light for revelation that he spoke about in the Spirit? The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 10, for Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone who believes. The law brought only death to sinners. A life by faith in Christ is a life lived in the light of the gospel, meaning a life as the apostles described it in Galatians 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you, if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again, every man who accepts circumcision, that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Long and short of it is this. If we base our Christian life only on the keeping of rules, we are cut off from Christ. In Christ, we don't have rules that work against our nature, but we are new creations. We have a new nature already working in us by faith in Christ. As Paul states in 1 Corinthians 5, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone away, and behold, the new has come. Now, we don't have the law as a schoolmaster, but now by the Holy Spirit, the law becomes our sincere desire. As God works in us by his Holy Spirit and his word, this is what he's doing. He's changing us at our core. He's adjusting our wants and our desires, converting them to a new life in which we want what is the life of Christ by God's design, where we no longer want the glory for our life, good works or decisions, but where we give God all the glory. In this we can see that it is his work in bringing helpless children into covenant with God through baptism. In the baptism of a baby, we get as close as we can to a physical image of the new covenant of grace. A baby can't do any good work. They can't make decisions. They're simply carried in to be present and receive the gifts God desires for them. Like Jesus, his parents brought him in, but it was God at work on both sides, working in Simeon and in Mary and in Joseph to fulfill the law in order that this grace of Christ could be ours forever. Now, it still works this way. God works on one side through the church and on the other side through our parents to bring a child into this new covenant of grace. So through their lives, there's one thing they can remember about their baptism. They didn't choose it. God chose them. Adult baptism must be carefully taught so that adults who are converted don't go back to law-based thinking where God doesn't get all the glory. Adult baptism can be confusing because we can think that it was us choosing to submit ourselves to God's grace. But grace in its fullness, the new covenant, is what God does for us, not what we do. And any good we are involved in after baptism, it all comes from his work in us. This is how Simeon could say what he said in Luke. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. I pray you depart church today in the same peace, knowing God brought you to himself. He carried you in like Mary carried Jesus, whether as a child or an adult. It was God's love seen at his cross and resurrection. And the sending of his Spirit baptized you, blessed you, so that we can now all exclaim with Simeon, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And like Mary and Joseph, we too are now able to obey the law by grace and through faith in Jesus, love one another. He is the one who loved us, and we now, because of him, desire to do what is right. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand. Please join me in the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Please join me in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. And the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Please join me in prayer for the church. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart, with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in the prayers of the church, here and everywhere, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for those and for all of our needs of our body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Please stand. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please join me in the morning prayer. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you will keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, and the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless you and keep you. Thank you for worshiping with us today. The hard part's easy now. It's easy. I can just talk to you. So there's a bunch of announcements in here, and the poinsettias have been donated by a bunch of people. If anyone wants to read those, I'm not going to read all those for you. But they look beautiful up here. And if anyone else has any announcements, I got a couple here. Go ahead.
I'd like to thank everybody that contributed to the child care tax credit to the school. If you would still like to contribute, just make sure that your check is dated December 31st, 2023. And thank everybody for their support.
Awesome. Thank you.
And if you got a poinsettia, you can take it home today, too. That way you can
kill them. Let's see. Youth group are still selling calendars. They're $15 each. PC, Connie, and Kristen about that. And pastor should be back January 6th, which is the end of this week. So if you have any needs, you can wait till then. I don't know anything much. So, but thank you, and have a great day.
One more.
Oh, we got another one.
Next Sunday, we will continue with our Christmas celebrations through song. And the TLC Seniors, please remember that we will be singing again next Sunday. Thank you.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
Southern Colorado's best country is found in one place, KSPK.
I wish I would have met you anywhere but where I did. Some old high-rise town that I won't ever go again. Wish we would have rolled around some old cab and chased them city lights. Hit bars I don't like. We were listening to One More Silver Dollar, hanging out by Silver Rock. Girl, your memory starts to float. Baby, why'd I ever take the bait and take the places that I love to go? Hell, I never know. I even took you to my hometown to meet my mama. Now I'm gonna see you every time I see that welcome sign.